So last week we celebrated Canada Day with an open air service, and I shared some words from scripture from the book of Leviticus with people who were here with us last week. And I just want to throw it out there. Does anyone remember anything about the particular passage from Leviticus that I shared last Sunday morning? Shout it out. Go ahead. There we go. The year of Jubilee. Absolutely. So we talked about the year of Jubilee last week. We talked about the year of Jubilee being a big master reset on life. That when life gets crazy and spirals out of control, God gave the nation of Israel a mechanism every 50 years to put things back together. Like the master reset button on your computer when it all goes crazy on you. That everyone tells you not to press because apparently it's damaging and harmful. It has just dawned on me, Terry, that I have not given you the PowerPoints for this morning. Sorry about that. That was the former series. As we chat a bit this morning, this sermon is so timely for me, anyway. I hope it's timely for you. But as we chat, you will begin to have some understanding this morning. But we talked last week about reset. And so we reset our relationships with each other. We reset our relationship with the things that God has blessed us with, and we have been called, I called us last week at Jubilee, to reset our relationship with God himself and to pray for a summer of Jubilee where things that maybe have gone out of control can be brought back into perspective and we can have a fresh start. So today we're looking in the book of Ecclesiastes. And it's going to be along the similar lines. It's not a series per se, but these sermons will be linked together in some ways. But let's read it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. And it's a real shame because I had some really cute PowerPoints made for you this morning. But that happens, as you will discover this morning as I'm preaching. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time to tear down and a time to build. Verse 4. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. There is a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. Verse 6, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. There is a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. We should put that one on our kids' walls. There is a time to love and a time to hate. There is a time for war and a time for peace. Let's pray together. God, I just pray that you would take these words of wisdom from Solomon and that you would open our hearts this morning as we look into these things together here at Evangel Assembly. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen. Folks, have you ever wondered what it would be like to have a perfectly balanced life? Have you ever been at a stage in life where you said, that's it, I'm going to have everything in proper balance, in proper perspective, I'm going to do everything well every day? Have you tried that before? The idea of balance, I mean, I think our culture is enamored with it a little bit because you can find all kinds of books, the 10 Secrets to a Perfect Life, the 14 Secrets to a Perfect Life. Apparently 10 wasn't enough. Or you know, maybe the simplified version, the 3 Secrets to a Simple Life, and we can go on and on and on. So I went this week to the source of all information, Google, right? Well, you'd think it is anyway, the way we use it sometimes. And I asked Google what it meant to have a perfectly balanced life. And I found, again, the 7 secrets to successful people living a balanced life. And I thought, well, this has got to be a gold mine. So I clicked on it. And this is what we have to do. We have to first manage our physical health every day. Okay, that's good. We have to spend quality and quantity of time with our family, including kids and spouses, separately every day. We have to also be social. you need to like attend a book club or a sporting club or a quilters group or something like that. Your finances have to be balanced so that there is always more coming in than is going out, and you have to wisely invest the excess to maximize your profit. Are you balanced yet? Because we're not even through all seven. You need to be a good citizen. You need to participate in community initiatives. You need to attend council meetings. Who went to the council meeting about the new proposal for the Arts Center on Thursday evening? Thank you, Diana. And Anna, the two of you have a chance, if you can fit the other six, of being balanced people. And you have to take care of the spiritual aspects of your life. That is what this person, Seven Secrets of Successful People Living a Balanced Life. I hope no one paid him any money for those. Because I wonder, does anyone feel like they live a perfectly balanced life right now? Does anyone feel like they've got those seven secrets all in proper check and balance right now in your life? If you do, feel free to raise your hand. And then there's a passage in Exodus we'll flip to about bearing false witness. Because there's a big idea that I think Solomon is getting at here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 this morning. There's a really big idea I think he's getting at. And this is going to be so helpful for us today. This is it. Balance is a myth. There is no such thing as a balanced life. We might chase the illusion of perfect balance. We might chase the desire. We might want even to write the book. Maybe there's an eighth secret that ties all the seven together, and you know it. Write it, sell it, make your money. Make sure you have more coming in than going out, and invest it wisely. Talk to Bud. He can help you with that. But you know what? I think we would drive ourselves crazy. Maybe some of you are there. Maybe you are driving yourselves crazy, pursuing in relentless fashion this myth of a perfectly balanced life all the time. But we'll never achieve it. Sorry to break your hearts this morning. And I think Solomon is getting at this, and we're going to unpack this. There's a pastor on our west coast of Canada. His name is Mark Batterson. He's an associate professor at Ambrose Theological Seminary in Calgary now. But Mark Batterson wrote a book called Spiritual Rhythm, and he said this. He said, we crave balance, but we need rhythm. We crave balance, but what we need is rhythm. Because the seasons of life, they are not balanced. They are inherently unbalanced. And Solomon knew this when he wrote this. Our lives, your life, my life, the life of our church, life of everything, it is always going to be skewed towards something. We are going to be lopsided all of the time. That is inevitable because there is no balance to life, just rhythm. I visited Yvonne Doucette at Sankey Manor last week. Billy and I, we spent about an hour just chatting about things at Sankey Manor. It was great, and I appreciate you having us over, Yvonne. But you shared something with me, Yvonne. I didn't say anything then, but I was thinking in my mind. Yvonne said this to me, and she was being sincere. She said, sometimes it is so quiet at Sankey Manor, and it gets so boring, you just have to sit in a chair and sleep or get up and go do something. And personally, Yvonne, in that moment, I wanted to run to Kathy's desk and put in an application to Sankey Manor right now. I wanted to switch lives with Yvonne Doucette right then, on the spot, no questions asked. Because my house, as some of you may know, is not quiet, except maybe at midnight, and then there's not always a guarantee. Sometimes my house can be so busy that you just have to lock yourself in the bathroom and sit on the toilet with a box of crackers to have a snack and a quiet moment. And that, my friends, is not a lie. Now, I am sure that when Yvonne was raising little Luscious over there and little Billy and all the other ones, that I know all of them except for one we discovered. We were looking through pictures. I'm sure when she was raising all of them, and little Linda, she's not here this morning, I'm sure life wasn't as quiet as it is right now at Sankey Manor, though, was it? No. No. Because there is no balance to raising kids. Because when you raise kids, it's go, go, go. And then when you fall down, you got to get up and keep going. Because, I mean, who else is going to? Really? It's not going to be the kids. But there's also no balance to living at Sankey Manor. Because from what I understand, it is rest, rest, rest. And when you're tired of resting, just rest some more. But not for everyone, right, Grace? So Grace is the caretaker. And so from Sankey Manor's perspective, maybe having some little children running around the halls for a short period of time would be refreshingly delightful. Yeah. But from my perspective, from my vantage point of life, as I said, I'm going to put in an application right away so that hopefully I can get in sometime soon. And so, what's that, Brian? You'll be there soon enough. You and I'll be neighbors, Brian. And so, folks, in life, there is no balance. The seasons of life come with their own unique tilt and twist. Everything, every season is tilted toward something. So as Mark Buchanan said, we crave balance, but what we need is rhythm. Now let me tell you another story. My house is full this summer. This is probably has something to do with why Terry did not get my PowerPoint this morning. Because I have 6 people in my family. That's a pretty big family for today. We have 4 children, and they're aged 9, 8, 6, and 3. So that's a pretty busy life, right? And so this summer, we also have our intern, Josh, staying with us. He's taking the spare room in the basement. And his fiancée, Carrington, is visiting for a couple of weeks. And so there's 8 of us. We got into a rhythm of 8. That's good. That's great. And then my mission's pulled into town. And so my mission's pulled into town. And last night, in addition to the 8 at my house, there were 4 boys bunking in the playroom and 2 girls on air mattresses in Carrington's room. So this morning we had 14 people for breakfast. So we did it hotel style. We told them at 8 o'clock there will be food on the island, eat, get ready, and be ready to leave at 9. And so there's no balance to that. But listen to this, though. On Wednesday, September 5th, like in 2 months from now, on Wednesday, September 5th, when I leave for work, that is also the first day of school. Grayson starts school this year. All 4 kids are going to be there. My missions will be home kissing their mom and dads goodbye to their first days of school. And the interns will be gone and summer will be over. When I leave for work on Wednesday, September 5th, in my house that now has 14 people, 20 for lunch today, my house will have 1 person, just Mandy. And so, folks, my house turns into Sankey Manor on September 5th. At least for school hours. So, folks, there is no balance to life. There's no balance. If we try and keep everything balanced and neat and tidy, and I'm sorry, Terry, I didn't get you the PowerPoint, but we were cooking breakfast for 14, and we had to make 2 trips here with 3 vehicles, and yeah, it was fun. It was great. I was visiting Yvonne Ouellette this week. It's so great to see you in church, Yvonne, as well. I was visiting Yvonne Ouellette in the hospital. Here's another place where there's no balance either, eh, Yvonne? You don't get to eat and exercise and work and rest and proper balance when you're ill, when you're in the hospital. There's just rhythm. And at that stage, it's rest and recover. Eat, take some pills and occasionally be poked and prodded, right? Yeah, exactly. And so there is no balance. So what can we do? So we crave balance, but we've just discovered that there is no such thing as balance. I'm sorry for shattering that. So what can we do? What can we do then when we realize that we'll never achieve that, that we'll never have everything all in its proper balance all at the same time? Well, instead of seeking balance, we can take Solomon's advice here in Ecclesiastes and we can adjust to the ebbs and the flows of life. We can live in rhythm. But to live in rhythm means that we have to expect and accept that seasons do and they will change. And that we need to be leaning and changing with them. If we have to live a lopsided life, and we do, it's just the fact of life. Pastor Mark Batterson-Buchanan, from our West Coast in Canada, says in this book, he says, let's live life gloriously lopsided. Let's find the blessing of God in every tilted, lopsided situation we find ourselves in. That if we have to focus on raising children for a period of time, let's lean into that and let's do that well. And not everything else will get cared for. Some other lesser important things will go to the wayside. But if we have to live lopsided, and we do, let's live gloriously lopsided and pour into the things that God has put in our life at that time and receive the blessings that God has given to us. If we have to live lopsided, even in the days when our children are gone and maybe our spouse has died, let's lean into that tilt, into that lopsided aspect of life, and let's live gloriously lopsided in those as well. Let's pursue the opportunities that God has put in our path and lean into those things. The Apostle Paul said this in the book of Philippians. He said, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. Paraphrase this means, he knows what it's like to live at Sankey Manor, and he knows what it's like to live at Pastor Nathan Hill's house. And he said that in the midst of any of those tilts, there is a blessing, there is good. I'll skip to the punchline, Ephesians 3:11. That God has made everything beautiful in its time. In every time and season, there is beauty. And sometimes we forget about that. Because there is goodness when life is too busy. There's goodness when life is too dull sometimes. And we can find goodness through God being with us and giving us the grace to endure when life is difficult. And so the Apostle Paul wasn't lying, and Solomon was not unwise. I was visiting with Helen Nickerson this week. I don't know if she's here this morning. Helen said to me this week that her mother always told her that the season of raising kids was the best time of her life. And Helen said to me this week, as she's past that season now, she said, you know what? My mother was right. And so I've tried to listen to everyone. And when things get really crazy, I've tried to lean into that tilt and say, but people tell me this is the best time of my life. It can go either way. A full-out depression, knowing that this is the best of my life. Or I can look for the beauty. I can look for the beauty of what God is doing and how God has entrusted us with four lives and how we can see them shaping and growing. And I mean, Mandy and I didn't even have to be hosts last night because our son Ben, where are you down there, Ben? Can I tell this about you? Ben told me to ask permission before I single him out. Ben is a fantastic host. Ben occupied, or they occupied him, but Ben was a host to six My Missioners at our house last night. He had them downstairs shooting Nerf bullets. They were making balloon animals, thanks to Josh Bland. And like Ben was just pulling it all together while Mandy and I were tucking kids in bed and getting things settled. So thank you, Ben. Appreciate that very much. And so if we listen to the wisdom of Paul in Philippians, that he knows that there's a secret to being content in all situations, and if we listen to the wisdom of Solomon and realize that every season has its appointed time, then I think instead of trying to always get to that perfect place, I think we would realize if we just open ourselves up to the season we're in and lean into that, live gloriously lopsided, then we will see what God is doing and speaking and growing into our hearts at that time. And so when we read this passage, it was a lot of a time to this and a time to that. The first four we read, a time to be born and die, plant and uproot, kill and heal, tear down and build. There is a time to build things up. There is a time to do that. There's a time to start new things and to build things. There's a time to wind down and tear them down as well. Mandy's getting ready to purge our playroom again because we have toys that are too young even for Grayson. And there's a time to build things up, and there's a time to end them. Does anyone remember when the big theater by Toots fell down all over Main Street? Yeah. Yeah, this is kind of what happens when we ignore the season to build or repair or tear down, and we just ignore it and try and pretend that life isn't in seasons, That's kind of what happens. I think there was very likely a season, a window to repair or just tear down that old theater. It was the theater, right? Was it? Yeah. I think there's probably a season, a window to do that, to take care of that. And for whatever reason, it wasn't done. And that season was not embraced. And then what happened? The brick building fell down onto Main Street. I wasn't living here then, but I saw the pictures. Wow. Like, if you weren't around then, the building literally fell down all over Main Street. It was just bricks everywhere. They had to close down the street. I mean, the same thing can be said for maintenance on our vehicles. We can ignore that check engine light. We can also be stuck on the side of the road when the vehicle decides it's going no further. So we can ignore the rhythms or the seasons of life. We can ignore those. We can refuse to move or change with the rhythm of life, but we should not refuse to build in a season of building, and we should not refuse to tear down in a season of tearing down, because like the theater in Yarmouth, the season of change or tearing down will come anyway. It'll just be a little bit more catastrophic and damaging when it does. Because life, you can fight against it all you want, but Solomon says there is a season, and we've demonstrated this morning, there is tilt to life. Life is lopsided. He talked about some other things in verse 4. Talked about weeping and laughing, mourning and dancing, scattering stones and gathering them. There's a nice little Hebrew thing going on there. You can look up that later. And a time to embrace and a time to refrain. There's a time to celebrate, folks, and there's a time to lament. To be a Christian isn't to always celebrate all the time. We kind of talked about that last week. To be a Christian is to celebrate the goodness of God, yes, and the joy of the Lord is my strength, but there's a time for lamenting. There is a time for feeling that other side of emotion. There's an entire book in the Bible called Lamentations. It's the lamenting of the prophet Jeremiah when the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. He was upset by that. And he spent time lamenting. The Psalms, we can lament to God. And so last week we celebrated. It was a time to laugh. But we generally don't laugh at funerals. I mean, unless the eulogy has a comical moment as a moment of relief. But we generally, when I am preparing a funeral message, I don't intend to make people laugh. That might be a little bit irreverent depending on the moment. There is a season to celebrate, to laugh. There is a season to lament. I knew a person once who mistakenly thought that LOL meant lots of love, not what it really means, laugh out loud. And so you can imagine how you could get yourself into trouble if in a tender moment of grief, you replied, I am thinking of you lots. Sorry, LOL. You can imagine how that could get you into some difficulty. There is a season of life to LOL, to laugh out loud. There is also a season of life for the other LOL, lots of love. And we can lean into these seasons when they present themselves. Solomon says in verse 6, there's a time to search and a time to give up. There's a time to keep things and there's a time to throw things away. There are seasons to hold on to traditions and there are seasons to let them go. When I was a child, Christmas Day had its traditions. Christmas Day always looked the same for me. When I was a child, we'd wake up, we'd open up presents. We'd actually not wake up very early because in my house, you had to wait till at least 8 o'clock or something like that. I was always jealous of my cousin Chad because Kathy and Owen were up at like 5 on Christmas morning with Chad. I think Owen woke the whole house up and got them up. And so we would get up, we'd open presents, we'd go to my grandparents' house, and we'd be with them while they opened presents. We'd go to Kathy and Owen's house, and we'd spend time with them, and then everyone would come to our house at the end of the day. That was kind of the rhythm, the balance, years ago. That was a tradition. I loved that tradition. That was good. That was Christmas to me. That was what we did. And then I got married, and the season changed. And for the next 5 years after I got married, Christmas traditions had to change. I wasn't in Yarmouth on Christmas morning any longer. And it wasn't because we were at Mandy's parents for 5 years consecutive. It was because I was a pastor, and one of those years, Christmas fell on a Sunday, and that really really squash his travel plans. And then we moved to Ontario, and the price of travel really squashed Christmas plans. And then we had children, and then it was just all downhill from there. For Christmas plans, gloriously lopsided, people. Gloriously lopsided. And so I could have fought against that. I could have said to Mandy, we are going to be in Yarmouth in my parents' house in waking up at their place, and we're going to go visit my grandparents, even though they've passed away. And we're going to do all the things that I know about Christmas because that is my tradition and that's the way I want to do it. And it's not Christmas if we don't do it that way. I could have done that. Would that have been okay? No? No? No. Okay, so there was a new rhythm of life. I had to lean into that tilt. I had to get used to new Christmas traditions, and I had to come to love some new things. And make no mistake, it wasn't easy. Do you know that the first 5 years that we lived in Ontario, on Christmas Eve, I might have been on the platform at another church leading another place, but I was wondering what was going on at Evangel Assembly. And that's not a lie either, because my tradition was to come to Christmas Eve at Evangel Assembly. And I remembered that order of service like clockwork. I remember who sang what, and I remember, and Grace is chuckling. We changed things up a little bit last year. I know things have changed a bit over the years as people have moved on and things like that. But I remember, and that was her tradition, and I loved that. And so I was sitting on a platform in a community called Essex in Ontario wondering what was going on at home where I wanted to be there for Christmas. It took 5 years. And then I finally felt settled. I remember the Christmas Eve, I said to Mandy, this feels good. This feels like home. And we had our kids, and we had some friends. And, you know, we would go out for turkey, or we'd have people in for turkey. We don't have good luck with turkey. Hopefully this year will be a better year. Just ask Mandy about Turkey Gate. Turkey Gate. Yeah, just ask Mandy about that. But it wasn't easy adjusting my Christmas traditions. But I had to. It was a new season. It was a new rhythm. And we have come to appreciate a new segment, a new tradition of what Christmas will be. And I'm sure what we are experiencing now won't be permanent either. There is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. There's a time to hold on to traditions, and there's a time to recognize the rhythm and the season of life has moved on, and we will move on in a new rhythm with that. Because I already gave away the punchline. Ecclesiastes 3:11, God has made everything beautiful in its time. Because there is beauty in every season of our soul and in every season of our life. There is beauty in that. And so over the past year here at Evangel Assembly, we have walked through all kinds of seasons. Today is a milestone day. I don't know if anyone remembers it, but I do. Today's a milestone day. 1 year ago today, I preached the call here at Evangel Assembly. It was the second Sunday in July. It was 1 year ago, but it's a year already, believe it or not. And what a year it has been. We've embraced new rhythm. My leadership has transitioned. You probably wouldn't know that, but I've had to change and grow a lot in this past year compared to what I had been doing in the last 10 years. And it's been mostly out of necessity, but we've planted new things here. We've planted foundations, and we saw the fruit of that. We saw baptisms and memberships come out of that, and we planted a Christmas family Christmas banquet. And then last Sunday, we took Sunday school picnic and Canada Day and open air service and smushed them all together and came up with something brand new that was fantastic. We've planted new things. We took apart some other things. We took apart VBS, and we made Wacky Wednesday out of it so we can connect with families all summer long and keep them in a routine and the habit of interacting with us on Wednesday evenings so they can jump right back into the flow of BG in the fall. So, Becky, get ready because there'll probably be more this fall. Get ready for it. You have a couple months to rest still. And we took apart the usual summer intern program, and I want to thank the board and the deacons because they were fantastic in dreaming big with me and in resourcing all of that. It's been fantastic the way that we've been able to work together. And thanks to the Evelyn Gallagher Ministry Fund, and thanks to some of the home missions funds that have been set aside, we have been able to fund our interns and our summer programs this year without even touching a dime from our operating funds here at Evangel Assembly. And so that is fantastic as well. We've taken apart some things and put them back together in new ways. And we have some new things that we're thinking about too. We've been talking, as I said in January, with State of the Church about refreshing our Sunday morning kids ministry. And for the last several months, I've been talking with key stakeholders and key leaders, and we've got some ideas, and it's going to take us a little bit longer to get everything lined up. We want to start well, and so the fall won't change drastically about anything really just yet, but we're ready, and we want to keep moving forward. We've been looking for an assistant pastor, and we've received interests from all kinds of places, and we're in the process of narrowing it down. And as one of the board members said, we're a little bit shy about this when I was talking with him this week, because it's been a long time, and sometimes things don't go well, and we're shy about it, but we're going to lean into the rhythm and the season. And if there was a season to wait, and we've waited, and we've searched, and we've looked, and it may be a season to move forward, and we're going to lean into that too when that comes. But I guess the last question for you this morning is this. How do we know then, if we're supposed to lean into the season, how do we know what time it is? How do we know, is it time to keep or is it time to move on? Is it time to build or is it time to tear down? Is it time to have the fight or is it time to keep the peace? Is it time to speak or is it time to be quiet? Is it season to change or is it a season to hold firm? How do we know? How do we know, Solomon? And he didn't tell us. He just told us there were those seasons. He didn't tell us all the rest. But this is what I want to encourage with you with this morning. That we can ask ourselves a couple questions to find out what season it is in our life personally and what season it is for Evangel Assembly. We can look around and we can ask ourselves, what are other people in my stage doing? Look broadly. Look around widely. We did this as a kids ministry here. We looked and we wanted to know what all kinds of other people were doing. We didn't like all of it. But we wanted to know what all kinds of other people were doing. I mean, maybe parents of young kids, if you're ready to pull your hair out and that leaning into that tilt feels like you're leaning over the Grand Canyon and you're going to go down, maybe you can ask other parents what they do, how they lean into that tilt, and that's how you can cope. Maybe if you're a widow, or maybe if it's too quiet, maybe you can lean into that and talk to other people. Find out what they are doing to lean into that tilt. Here's the second thing, though. So ask, find, look broadly. And then second, ask, and whose voice do we trust the most? In your life, whose voice do you trust the most? Out of all the voices that you've now researched and looked and heard from, which ones do you trust the most? When I was in high school here in Yarmouth, I don't remember all of the details, but I remember receiving some criticism about a project I was pursuing with the high school. Actually, your dad was the principal, Shannon. He was my principal in high school. And we were working on some musical stuff together. And I remember there was some criticism that was coming from somewhere, and I forget where. But he said to me, or someone around me said at this point, they said, consider the source. That was the first time I had heard that in high school. But you know, listen widely, and then, secondly, narrow it down, which voices do we trust? And there was one time I had to make a really important decision, and I wasn't sure what to do, and I was in the shower. One of the few times I really feel like the Lord really dropped a firm, concrete, almost audible word in my heart, and he said, trust the advice of praying Christian friends. And I knew what they thought. And so the Lord just reminded me to trust the advice of praying Christian friends. And so listen widely, discern whose voice we trust, and thirdly, and then what is the sense of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart? What resonates with your heart? This is kind of why when we did in January, State of the Church, why that was so important with those surveys. When we look in the book of Acts, in the Jerusalem Council, we see that the church leaders got together and they didn't just share their thoughts, they listened to God. And when they came out, they said, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit that we do these things together. And so this morning, as I wrap up, and that's the truth. Balance is not real. Balance is fake. Balance is a myth. So balance is not real. This was on the PowerPoint. I'm really sorry. I'll say it slow. Balance is not real. Rhythm is better. Living in rhythm is better. But rhythm means that we have to embrace changing seasons sometimes in life. When seasons change, we need to lean into those. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, whatever season you find yourself in, lean into that season. Lean into that lopsidedness. Live gloriously lopsided, because Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has made every season beautiful in its time. When I asked the worship team to come back up, they're going to sing that song we sang again at the very end. In Christ alone, my hope is found. I'm going to pray for us. And then just as we are getting ready to leave and enjoy some lunch, if there's anyone this morning that would like to receive prayer, I know there's some people here that might be ill, and we'd like to gather around them and pray for them. But if you find you're in a season of life that's just ridiculous and you've been constantly trying to find balance and you feel like you're at your wit's end with some things, we would like to pray for you. We would like to pray that God's grace would be with you and that you would be able to lean into the season and that you would be able to live through it. So we want to pray for you for that. And of course, if you're here this morning and just confessing faith in Christ, if having God living in your heart, helping you lean into those seasons is something that you've never had before, we're going to give you an opportunity too, if you'd like to come and say, I need God fresh in my life. I need to confess faith in God fresh in my life. We'd love to pray for you then as well. So let's stand together. Let's stand together. God, I thank you for this morning. I just pray, God, that you would bless. I pray, God, that you will bless the seasons that we are in personally and individually, and I pray that you will bless the season that we are in as a church here at Evangel Assembly. Thank you, Lord God, that you make every season beautiful in its time, that, Lord, there is beauty in everything. And I just pray, Lord God, that we would open our hearts to see that, and then we would walk through the seasons we are in personally and as a church with the quiet convictions that you are there, you will be with us, and you will impart something beautiful to us in this time. Thank you for this, God. Thank you for this. Amen.